Have your Bibles with you. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'll be reading verses 35 through 49. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is known as the resurrection chapter of the Bible. So if you can't study other passages like Luke 24 or John 20 and 21 or Acts chapter 1, then look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to get your answers to the resurrection. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 49 says the following. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh, animals have another, birds have another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies, but the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and stars differ from star in splendor. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body and is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The first Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. So today we're going to talk about our resurrected bodies. Now, have you ever had a question that you were dying to ask, but you were afraid to ask it? Maybe some random thing about, hey, how are we going to look in heaven? How's it going to be? What's our bodies going to be like? You know, I'll tell you what. My grandkids aren't afraid to ask questions. Man, you know, a couple years ago, Mira was 4, and we were at the Brookside Park in Ashland. We were down by the little red building down there where they sell ice cream and all kinds of good food after you play putt-putt. And we were sitting there eating ice cream, and Mira looks at us and said, Grandma, Grandpa, why is that little boy sitting there naked? We said, Mira, he's not naked. He has swimming trunks on. He's not naked. But she couldn't see that. But right away, she asked, because that was what was on her mind. It was something she couldn't understand. And the Bible speaks about all kinds of questions we have, and we shouldn't be afraid to ask God to show us the answers to whatever questions they are. There's no stupid question that we might have. There's nothing that God doesn't want us to know. He wants us to search the Word of God and find the answers. You know, the Bible speaks about two resurrections in John chapter 5, verses 28 to 29. It says there, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and will come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. So the first resurrection is to life. The second resurrection is to judgment, and it talks about that judgment in Revelation chapter 20. Verses 11 through 15. So we should all want to be a part of the first resurrection. So let's take about a look today at this first resurrection, this resurrection to life. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he had a resurrected body. His body serves as like a prototype for us of what our resurrected bodies will look like. Jesus was able to move through space in a short period of time. He didn't have wings, though. People never become angels. You know, people are people. Angels are angels. They're different types of created beings. We'll never be angels, but our bodies will have a different capacity in the future. Jesus was able to move through a locked, closed door, and he could go from heaven to earth in instance. So as I said, we should look at the end of chapter 24 and in Luke chapter 24 and John 20 and 21 and Acts chapter 1 and also 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to see what Jesus' resurrected body was like so that we can see what ours will be like. You know, the first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 answers the question, why believe in the resurrection? You know, there are certain things you got to believe in order to be a Christian. You got to believe that Jesus is God. You got to believe that Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. You got to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. It's one of the basic things. These are the most important things you have to accept. But that's the first question. It deals with that. Why believe in a resurrection? We don't believe in a resurrection, we're still in our sins. Don't believe in a resurrection, we're liars. You know, we're in bad shape if we don't believe in a resurrection. The second section that we just read a few minutes ago asks two questions. The first question is, how are the dead raised? And second question is, with what kind of body will they come? So today, let's look at four answers to those two questions that are written in this passage. So first of all, our resurrected bodies will be the same but different. Will be the same but different. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body as he's determined, and to each kind of seed he gives its own body. You know, there are certain things that people who are not believers do not accept. I mean, one of the things that you can try to explain from here on out to an unbeliever is the Trinity, for instance. They will not buy the Trinity. Another thing that they won't accept is the resurrection. The resurrection. They don't believe in it. And so Paul was often dealing with people like Greek philosophers. It talks about that in the book of Acts. You know, they kind of made fun of Paul when he talked about the resurrection. And also the Sadducees, Jewish people. There were Jewish religious leaders that did not believe in the resurrection. And so he answered a question as if a foolish person asked it. And the Bible often talks about a person who doesn't believe in God as a foolish person because they're not thinking about the future. I mean, what's going to happen in the future? You know, when a seed is planted, we don't expect to get the exact seed back later at harvest, do we? No. When it's planted, it dies, it decomposes, it loses its shape and identity as a seed, and it sprouts, it grows, it becomes a mature plant with its own body that looks nothing like the original seed. The plant remains in the same life form. You know, like wheat doesn't become corn, or soybean seed doesn't become a tomato plant. You know, I brought some seeds here today. You see these seeds? Somebody tell me what kind of seeds they are. bean seeds, okay? I grow beans in my garden. There's certain seeds that are explosive when you plant them. Beans, I planted beans on Monday, and they're up. They were up on Friday, but they're not tall enough. They weren't tall enough that anybody could see it. This one's about 2 weeks old, and it wilted, you know, overnight. So they were more beautiful than that. But my illustration there was not quite as good as I thought. But beans and kale and lettuce, you know, when you put those things in the ground, within 3 days, 3 to 4 days, they're going to be up. But, you know, when I put this seed in the ground, it's going to break up right away. It's going to explode. It's going to become something else. It's going to sprout. And it's going to be changed into something that's better. It has a different type of flesh, a different type of body. It does all kinds of things that these things can't do. And that's the way it's going to be with our physical bodies. You know, the people that heard Paul speak about the resurrection were not thinking about this question spiritually. They were not thinking about it on the right level. This seed looks nothing like the final plan, does it? And our physical bodies today are just a shadow of what our spiritual bodies will be in the future. But we'll be able to recognize that person. So our resurrected bodies will be the same, but wonderfully different. Wonderfully different. Secondly, our resurrected bodies will have a different composition and a different glory. Look at verses 39 through 42. It says, all flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds another, and fish another. There are also heavenly bodies, and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly bodies is one kind, and the splendor of the earthly bodies is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, and the moon another, and the stars another. And star differs from star in splendor. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. So, you know, we all want a detailed picture of exactly what we're going to look like, don't we? You know, we want somebody to draw it out, to show us, okay, this is what you are now. This is what you'll be. The Bible doesn't tell us what it's going to be, what we're going to be like that, but it gives us pictures so that we can kind of imagine. So instead of telling us like that, Paul uses earthly and heavenly bodies as examples. First, he mentions earthly living bodies examples: people, animals, birds, and fish. Each has its own individual kind of flesh. God created each kind special, each kind unique. Each flower, each seed, each blade of grass, and even identical twins have their own unique biological code. Now, our new bodies in heaven will be composed of a different kind of flesh, a wonderful kind of flesh. You know, the texture, the ability to last. I mean, it's going to be made to last for eternity, to never die. It'll never die. Can you imagine? We don't have, I mean, a lot of people try to sell you a car and tell you this is the last car you'll ever buy, right? Guess what? 4 years is rotten, and you're buying another car. Or they used to tell us these LED lights, you know, LED lights, you never have to replace them. Well, I'm replacing them all the time in my house, so it doesn't work. Everything wears out here on this earth, but not like that in heaven. Secondly, he mentions heavenly bodies. God created the sun and the moon and the stars. And we don't look at these very often, do we? I mean, really, we're not out at night so much. And when we're out at night, there's usually a big city close to us, and so there's light coming from there. But in Israel, it was dark, really, really dark. And you go out at night and you see all the beautiful stars, and you see the moon. And could you see this comparison? Each shines in a different way. Each, in its own way, is impressive. But they're different. In the same way, our new bodies will be impressive, but not in the same way that our current ones are. You know, what usually comes up at harvest is more beautiful than what was planted. I don't know, did any of you ever, do you have tulips at home? You have tulips, a type of flower? Okay, tulips. Well, few things are as ugly, I mean ugly, as tulip bulbs. They're not fun to look at. Yet they produce a beautiful flower. You know, God doesn't just reconstruct these seeds at the resurrection, but he gives us totally new bodies that are wonderfully and beautifully designed to live forever. So our resurrected bodies will have a different composition and a different glory. It's going to be wonderful to see all of you there, hopefully all of you there with new bodies in heaven. Thirdly, our resurrected bodies will be gloriously changed. I mean, gloriously changed. Say it with me. Gloriously changed. Wonderfully changed. Look at 42b through 44. It says, the body is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. It's a wonderful thing that God is able to take broken materials and make it serve somehow his purpose. Our earthly bodies are, first of all, affected by sin. They are temporal. Our earthly bodies are weak. Our earthly bodies are imperfect. We may think our bodies are perfect, but they're imperfect. But our heavenly bodies will be eternal. Our heavenly bodies will be perfect. Our heavenly bodies will be powerful. Not only that, but Paul says our current bodies are perishable. That means able to die, able to break down, decay, get sick. But our resurrected bodies will not break down or die. There won't be any cavities in heaven. There won't be any need to have your eyes tested because your eyes are going bad. There won't be any need to get your cataracts taken out off your eyes or have your ears fixed. You know, have something put in your head, you know, so you can hear again. Because in heaven, there won't be any deterioration. There will be no more getting old. There'll be no more slow decline. Only God dealing with us and helping us. Paul says our current bodies are dishonorable. That means sinful. Because of our sin nature, they're sinful. But our future bodies will be raised in glory. That means sinless, totally sinless. Paul says our current bodies are sown in weakness. That means they're able to be broken. But our future bodies will be raised in power, able to do many things that our current bodies cannot do. No way, they can't do it. In heaven, we're not going to need things like walkers. We're not going to need wheelchairs. We're not going to need reading glasses in heaven. Not one of these things is going to be there. There are going to be a lot of people lose their jobs in heaven because they're not going to be able to make wheelchairs or make canes or make reading glasses. Paul says our current bodies are sown a natural body, and that means from Adam. We're made from the dust of the earth. But our future bodies will be raised a spiritual body, composed of absolutely new material that we've never seen before, given by God. It's going to be wonderful. It's hard to imagine how good it's going to be. Our current bodies are going to decay and die. But in heaven, there's not going to be any decay or any death.
But our new resurrected bodies will be designed to live in this new environment. And that means forever, with no checkups needed ever. You're not going to need that yearly checkup with the doctor. You're not going to go see your dentist. None of that stuff ever, ever again in heaven. The first birth gave us our earthly bodies, but our second bodies give us what is spiritual. The resurrected bodies give us what is spiritual. Finally, our resurrected bodies will be like Jesus, since this is really exciting. We're going to be like Jesus in the way we look. Verses 45 through 49 talks about this. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, the second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. The man from heaven is who? Jesus, right? We're going to bear his likeness. So the final answer to these questions concerns Adam and Christ. Through Adam, we became earthly, living beings. And Adam gave his sinful nature to all who came after him. We automatically received a sinful nature at birth because of Adam and Eve's sin. Adam was from the dust of the earth, as are we. In contrast to that through Christ, we receive a life-giving spirit, completely remade, not reconstructed, but remade with the stuff from heaven. It's going to be wonderful. Instead of reproducing the things of this earth in our bodies, in heaven we will bear the likeness of Christ. The likeness of Christ, that means we'll be like him. Ever imagine what it would be like if we didn't need to stop stop signs or traffic lights? We didn't need them anymore. Everybody would just automatically do what they're supposed to do. In heaven, we won't need, for instance, the light of the sun anymore, because the Lord our God will be our lamp and our constant guiding light. And never again, the Bible tells us, will we need to be commanded about the ways of God, because the knowledge of God and the love of God will be poured out into our hearts. We will be just like Jesus forever and ever, perfectly like him. After Jesus was crucified for our sin, he was buried. And after 3 days, he rose from the dead. He is risen, as in indeed. So Paul tells us that those three facts about the gospel are of first importance. Man, you can't get away from that. That's where it is. By believing them, we become new children of God. Not our whole life becomes different. We're not our worth from that point on. It's not based upon what we do or our family or what we own, but we become, our value is based upon the fact that we are a child of the King. I am a child of Jesus no matter what I do. That's the most important thing. Maybe today you're like my grandkids, and you have some questions about Jesus. And maybe you've always been afraid, kind of, to ask them. You thought it might be silly, or people might laugh, or you might embarrass yourself or embarrass somebody else. But it's okay. It's okay. We'll try to answer them. And if we can't answer those questions, we'll pray for you. that God, through your study of God's word, will show these answers to your questions. And that's where we get most of the answers we need, isn't it? Just from our own personal reading the Bible. But also we get some from God's people. So let's pray as we close. Father, we do thank you for your love for us today. Thanks for all the things that you do for us in our lives. Thanks for the strength that you give us. Thanks for the promise of eternal life. Promise we know that's guaranteed here, but is totally fulfilled with a resurrected body and a place in heaven for all of eternity. That's not going to go away. Thanks, Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please stand as we sing our closing song.